Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox, and coming up on today's show, we'll look back at the MLB Wildcard Series and give you some of our biggest NFL Week 5 moments. Plus, we'll preview tonight's M&F game between the Raiders and the Chiefs. And of course, you already know you've got some Mox Locks coming your way. But first, let's welcome in Mr. Monday, Mr. Danny Brasco. Danny, how'd your bets do this weekend?
Pretty good, up and down, actually, overall. I was on fire to start, and Sunday Night Football didn't really go my way, but I'm making some good reads, and the NFL has been good to me this year. I'm loving the Mr. Monday nickname, Katie, because I've been doing very well in primetime games, aside from the Ravens-Bengals last night, but Mr. Monday is here for Monday Night Football tonight, and I'm going to come through for the people.
Okay, I love that. Yeah, we're going to get into that game and some of the other games. Yeah, I feel like on Sundays, it's been hit or miss for me. I'm kind of breaking even. I do better in primetime, so hopefully that carries forward tonight. But before we get into Week 5, let's talk about the first ever MLB wildcard series and look ahead to the divisional rounds. The Cleveland Guardians beat the Tampa Bay Rays, which I thought was pretty surprising, with a walk-off homer in the 15th inning to advance to the division series. Both the Mets and the Toronto Blue Jays were also eliminated from the wildcard round. Mets went 0-6 last night against the Padres. They played Timmy Trumpets, and they were losing 0-4. It was kind of a weird scene. Blue Jays also gave up a 7-run lead on Saturday night to seal their fate. Thoughts on those games? I know you're a big Yankees fan, so you've got to be a little bit happy about the Mets losing.
I have so many Met fan friends. I mean, every year they're so crushed by the Mets Metting themselves in September. They had the lead in the division for the entire year. With 2 days left, they give it up. They find themselves in the wild card game, and they lose to the Padres, Katie. They couldn't even get past the wild card round. It's really, really sad. And now DeGrom contract is in question. I mean, it felt like this was going to be their year, maybe.
It did. And you and I obviously were big proponents of the Subway Series. I really wanted that. I thought it was going to be fun. But just like you said, the Mets are going to Met. But they've got some question marks now heading into the postseason, like the DeGrom contract you just touched on. Also, Mad Max, what happened to him? He allowed 4 home runs in a playoff game. What's the fate of these pitchers with the Mets?
Well, you know, now we're looking at the manager. Like, why didn't we start DeGrom in game one, right? That's got to be the question. But, of course, you got to trust Mad Max anyway. So I don't think Showalter will take too much heat for that. But in any case, in terms of the contract, I mean, DeGrom said, after he was point blank asked, will you be a Met? He said, I have no clue. And I believe him. And he said it like he really doesn't know. There's a chance that, you know, Aaron Judge goes to the Mets, I'm hearing rumors of. So what does that do
for Giants?
DeGrom? Or the Giants, right? The Bay Area and you wants that.
I mean, but we hope. Probably not, but yeah.
I'm looking at the DeGrom contract wondering, well, what happens based on that? You know, whatever happens there may determine the free agency market in other places. So I find that really interesting. And then to go over to the AL, I mean, I'm very happy that both AL East teams immediately got knocked out. The Mariners beat the Blue Jays. Yeah. See you later. And the Rays are out with the Guardians in a 15-inning game that went scoreless forever. So wacky playoffs right away. I really like the introduction of extra wild card teams because it gets small market teams in there and gives everyone a chance. The Mariners ended their playoff drought. So, you know, it's just good for baseball and good for more areas that get to see their teams play meaningful games. So a lot of fun, and I'm excited for the next round. Go Yankees.
Speaking of the next round, there are 8 teams that remain: the Dodgers, the Astros, the Braves, your Yankees, Padres, Mariners, and Phillies and Guardians. That starts off tomorrow. Any thoughts on your Yankees? I think you'd be sending the pre-show. You're going to the game tonight, so, or tomorrow.
Yes, I'm going to the game tomorrow night. Yanks, Guardians. I'm not sure if I wanted them or the Rays. I'm not sure what to feel better about. I kind of like the Guardians. I mean, they're hot. Their offense is great. And I'm just happy we don't have to see Kevin Cash, the manager of the Rays, who knows how to game plan for the Yanks so well. So I like the matchup. But, you know, Guardians are good, man. That offense, there's no holes in it. So I'm always worried. But I'll be at the game screaming my little Yankee lungs out.
Okay, we love to hear that. Let's get into NFL and recap some of these Week 5 crazy games. First up, my favorite, the 49ers versus the Panthers. Niners win 37-15. They cover the 6.5 easily, and the over 40 hits, but not without injury. 49ers traditionally having a lot of injuries pile up when they play on turf. Emmanuel Mosley with a torn ACL, likely. Jimmy Ward, who just came back from IR with a broken hand. Nick Bosa with a tight groin. That to me seems groin. That seems to me like it's not that big of a deal. He's going to come back sooner than later. But Robbie Gould, our kicker, likely with a knee contusion as well. So just a lot of funky stuff happened in this game. I thought Garoppolo looked great. Jimmy was dealing. He was 18 of 30, 253 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. This is 2 games back to back with no interceptions from Jimmy. Kittle had 5 receptions. You and I were both over his receptions. He had the fumble. He had the false start. You know, he's still kind of getting up into it. He had under 50 yards, which I know was a bummer for you. But what were your thoughts on this game?
I actually have the over 37 and a half yards. So you posted on your Instagram. Yeah, you posted that it was his birthday and you were, you know, dusting off your little George Kittle bobblehead back there. And I was like, Katie, the vibes are great. So I took Kittle props, the receptions plus money and the yards cashed as well. So shout out to you for that one. But I mean, look, George Kittle aside, there's no doubt about it. The Niners have the best defense in football. And against Baker Mayfield and the Panthers, you know, they had no shot.
He looked awful.
Yeah, terrible. I'm just mad that I didn't take the -6.5, right? The line was moving a little bit. I was a little sketched out. It's a big spread delay on a low total. That combination usually worries me a little bit, but the Panthers were never going to be able to score on that Niners defense. And yeah, they did their thing. So your Niners back in contention. All of a sudden, Sunday night game against the Broncos, 11-10, and everyone's like, this is disgusting. And all of a sudden, they look like NFC contenders just like that.
Well, the Broncos are where teams go to die, as far as I'm considering, especially in primetime, because nobody can do anything, Broncos included, in those games. All right, breaking news. The Panthers have fired Matt Rhule this morning. Not exactly surprising after the season that he's had and the game that he had. He made a lot of weird decisions, like trying to go for it in 2-for-2 after that first touchdown. But thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I don't love him as a coach, but also he's kind of getting sacked here in a crappy way. Like, what are you going to do? I mean, he's had an injured Christian McCaffrey and he's had Teddy Bridgewater, who's serviceable, but, you know, he's not going to take you over the top. And now Baker Mayfield, what do we really expect out of the Panthers with, you know, unless Christian McCaffrey is taking over games, the defense, which he's had pretty good, bears down, then they don't win games. So I feel like he was fighting a losing battle all along.
Yeah, but also you look at people like, you know, Brian Daboll and, you know, good coaches matter. And they, even mediocre teams, not to say that the Giants are, but when you get a good coach in there, things just happen to change. And he clearly was not that difference maker for the Panthers. I mean, in fact, Panthers are 1-4. Everyone else in the division, Buccaneers lead 3-2, Saints and Falcons tied 2-3, and they are 1-4. So I think I'm not surprised that I think he was on the hot seat even before this game. And then he just totally, and Baker Mayfield, to your point too, like do you see him come out of the press conference wearing a boot? It's like, are you really injured? I know that's a terrible thing to say, but of all people, he is the type of person that kind of fakes an injury when things aren't going well. And then all of a sudden he plays next week and is totally fine.
Ooh, are you accusing Baker Faker? Is he faking this injury? It's a spicy
take. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. I feel like he's done it before.
Oh my God. I love this take.
Let's move on to your Giants. Giants versus Packers in London. Giants win 27-22. How about those Giants? They cover as 9-point dogs. They went outright. The cash, the over 42 as well. Packers led 20-10 at halftime, but then surrendered 17 straight points to the Giants. Danny Dimes with the gutsy play in the second half. He's got the bloody hand. He's rushing. He's doing all things. Saquon Barkley, absolutely insane as well. You know, what do you think of this game? Oh, Barkley, by the way, 137 yards. Just crazy.
I told you last week, too. Every week I want to be betting Saquon total yards props, and every week the books put it at a number that I'm like, it's insane. I can't bet that. Yeah. It's too high. And he breaks it anyway. He's the top running back in the league right now. He's going crazy. Everyone knows what's coming, and they can't stop it. That's dominance right there. The Giants, Katie, every week I come on here after they win a game, and I'm like, look, it's amazing, but it's fool's gold. It's feeling like a lot less of a fluke now. I mean, we just beat the Packers. I know the Packers are not the normal Packers, and the game
doesn't
was
matter.
In London. Yeah, we got a funky game. But at the end of the day, Daboll is winning games on the back of really good coaching on a lot of different fronts. It isn't just the tricky play calling and really innovative design. It's clock management. It's leadership. Yep. It's accountability. Like, you see the culture change, and that's really what I've been harping on more than anything. So 4-1, beating the Packers, it feels amazing. I will say this, Katie. I saw a tweet out of a guy. I'm looking for it right now. And this is really, really, really encouraging. The games left on the Giants schedule right here. Check it out. I mean, there's a bunch more than this, but here's some teams that we play. Jaguars, Seahawks, Texans, Lions, Commanders twice, and the Colts. Those are six winnable games. We're going to make the playoffs, Katie. We're going to make the playoffs.
We're going to make I texted you. I was like, they're contenders. And you were like, well, no. I'm like, no, not for the Super Bowl, but definitely for the playoffs. I agree with you. Giants now 4-1. Also, how about the other team? The Jets. They're 3-2 with their win over the Dolphins. I lost money on that one. I had Dolphins -3, but Teddy Covers goes out. And of course, there goes the cover. He's out due to concussion. So now Miami has two quarterbacks. I don't know who their quarterback's going to be next week because they've got two of them in concussion protocol. But yeah, Giants and Jets. I mean, who New York football is back, baby.
It really is. Jets are a gritty team. Remember Robert Saleh said at the beginning of the year when they lost that game, he said, oh yeah, everyone make fun. I'm taking receipts. He's showing them. He's showing up to the bank and cashing those tickets right now because the Jets look mean. And you're right. I also bet on Dolphins -2.5 and an alternative line. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I bet on Teddy Covers. He's 42-21 against the spread for his career. That's insane. You have to bet that. And he goes out on the first play, and I immediately texted the group chat I'm in. And I was like, you guys know he's not coming back, right? Like our bet is cooked because if he comes back, every one of the Dolphins goes to jail. So, you know, that was that for him. And now their quarterback is Skylar Thompson, who did his damn best to hang in there, but it wasn't going to be enough. So, hey, shout out to the Jets. That was a nice performance regardless of the injury. And they're a team that sucks to play. They'll punch you in the mouth. So you got to look at that team seriously now.
I will say in general, New York sports, big bounce back year. I mean, look at what the Rangers were able to do last year, made a really deep playoff run. Nobody expected that. The Knicks, everybody's super hyped on the Knicks. It's just preseason, but everyone's really excited about that. And then you got football going well. And even though the Mets bounced back, it was a really great year for New York baseball as well. So, you know, the city is back.
Bing bong.
It's bing bong. All right, let's move on to probably either your favorite team or your least favorite team, the Cowboys versus the Rams. Cowboys win 22-10. They won outright as 5-point dogs. The under 41.5 hit. Cooper Rush was only 10 of 16. That was his passing day, 10 of 16, only 102 yards, no scores. So miss me with this quarterback controversy hype. Like Dak, and you could see Dak Prescott was just like gunning on the sidelines that he definitely wanted to come in. I can't give Cooper Rush credit for this. This is all defense. This Cowboys defense is mean and they are gritty and they just suffocated the Rams. And by the way, the Rams, I'm pretty sure, are overrated as Super Bowl champions. They're not really doing much this year. Within 2 minutes of the game, Stafford was strip sacked by Armstrong, which ended up being picked up and turned around for a pick six. Armstrong also blocked a punt later that day. Stafford was sacked 5 times. That O-line is just trash. But how about these Cowboys too? How about the NFC East?
Seriously, I'm kicking myself for not betting Cowboys +5.5. When I saw the board, that immediately jumped out to me because when I was here last Monday with you talking about your Niners and that Monday night matchup with the Rams, that ended up being, I was really high on the Niners. That ended up being my biggest bet of the season so far. And it cashed with ease, right? The Niners took care of them, mainly because I don't believe in the Rams' offensive line to be able to give them time to do anything they want to do on offense. And I'm pissed I didn't bet Cowboys because that's the strength of their team, is that defensive line, that pass rush. I even said to myself, I could see a defensive touchdown. I didn't bet that either. Immediately. I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence is wreaking havoc on them, and Stafford and the Rams look less athletic than everyone else. They look like they're not, forget like the schemes and the designs. They look like they're just getting out-muscled by other teams. So I agree with you. They're totally overrated.
Totally overrated. And Matthew Stafford did throw a pick. The books are starting to get onto this. It was juiced up to like 160 something when usually you get it a lot lower than that. But of course, he threw a pick. It's basically an ATM machine. If you're not taking Matt Stafford, take a pick, then you just don't like money. All right, the other team, the only team that is still undefeated, Eagles at Cardinals. Eagles won 20-17, but they did not cover the 5.5 spread. Games goes under 48.5. Eagles stay perfect. They're 5-0 right now. Jalen Hurts was phenomenal in this game. He was 26 of 36, 239 yards. He rushed for 61, and he had 2 rushing touchdowns. They got a big divisional matchup next week. We just talked about how good that pass rush is for the Cowboys, and they're going to go up against, you know, one of the best offenses right now in the NFL with the Eagles. Well, one, what do you think of this game versus the Cardinals? To me, the Cardinals are trash. I wasn't surprised by that. And Kyler Murray's outfit, you knew at that point that it was over for them anyways. But what do you think about that game, and what do you think about them up against the Cowboys? That's going to be a big, big matchup.
Yeah, it's a really big matchup. And for that game, I'll be waiting to see what the public does because it's an NFC East clash, right? Two teams with solid records, a lot of hype on the Eagles. So I want to see what the betting market does before I jump in on anything, because that'll be a very publicly bet game, right? It's a very interesting one. As for this game, I didn't touch the Eagles Cardinals. It looked weird, the 5.5 spread. I wasn't in love with either side, but I'm not surprised the Cardinals covered. But like you said, they can cover. They don't win games, though. I mean, oh, so many times Kingsbury is unable to call up the right plays or find that push for their team to get that, you know, that last drive to take the game. And, you know, the Eagles were a little underwhelming in this one. So, yeah, they maintained that undefeated record, but, you know, some mistakes made in this one that feels like they should have ran away with it much earlier. So, you know, they still got the win and they're still on top of the NFC East. That's no longer the least. But, yeah, I think to your point, they, more than anything in this game, just proves once again the Cardinals are frauds.
Well, that leads me to my next point before we get into SNF. From the NFC least to the NFC feast, the NFC East is hot right now. Eagles, Cowboys, and Giants are combined 13-2, the best record by a trio from the NFC East through week 5 of all time, Danny, of all time. The NFC East has never had a 13-2 record like this. So props to you guys. Come a long way since 2020. Those three teams were 16-31-1. That's when they were the NFC least, and now they are the NFC feast. Moving on to SNF. Shout out to the Commanders for being the only for holding down the least in this division. All right, let's go on to SNF. Bengals versus Ravens. Ravens win 19-17. They don't cover the 3 points. How does Vegas do it? Game goes under 47.5 by a mile there. Justin Tucker, of course, saves the day again for the Ravens with his golden leg. Kicked a 43-yard field goal on the final play. On the final play of the game, he is 17 for 17 in his career on attempts in the final minute of regulation. You take Matt Stafford to throw a pick, and you take Justin, you know, Tucker to get field goals. And those are the two things that are always going to print money for you. He also made a 58-yard kick in the third quarter. Jackson had a little bit of a rough passing night for him. He only had 174 yards, had an interception. However, he did break a record. He became the fastest quarterback in the NFL history to reach 4,000 rushing yards. Took him, I believe, 65 games to get that. I had the Ravens in the first half. I thought that I tried to get slick with it. Well, one, I would have lost either way because I wanted to take the Ravens -3. But I thought, okay, in the first half because they implode in the fourth quarter and then they ended up going into the half tied. So I fell asleep in the middle of this game. My bet had lost pretty early on. I was tired. I woke up and I was like, okay, they, you know, 1-2. But what'd you think of this one?
So you asked in the beginning of this, how does Vegas do it, right? The Bengals end up covering the +3 spread. You know how they do it? I wasn't familiar that on extra points, that if you kick above the pole, where the pole is above, this is the last extra, the difference in the game. The Ravens won 19-17. They counted an extra point by Evan McPherson, the kicker on the Bengals, that went directly over the pole, directly over it. And I didn't know that field goal poles had air rights. Like if it kept going up, it would have hit it. If the pole existed higher, it would have hit the pole. But because if it goes above, it counts as an extra point. I was baffled. And that, Katie, is how Vegas does it. Because I also had Ravens -3. I would have pushed, and I lose on that. Insanity.
Yeah, I must have fallen asleep for that one. That is crazy. And I didn't realize that either. So, all right, well, let's move on to Capper's Corner. All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. Lions, Tigers, and tailgates. Oh my, the college football season is always a great time of year. Besides the jerseys, the face paint, and the foam fingers, there's the food. And nothing gets you more fired up for game day than Eckrich Smoked Sausage. They're naturally hardwood smoked and have the perfect blend of spices. From buffalo sausage dip to sausage chili mac and cheese, Eckrich Smoked Sausage is a quick way to bring flavor to all your tailgate meals. Visit Eckrich.com for easy, one-of-a-kind sausage recipes. Eckrich, you do you. Football season is here, and nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Not only does Vivid Seats have great NFL ticket prices, they're also the official ticketing partner of ESPN. And with Vivid Seats rewards, when you buy 10 tickets, you get the 11th free. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Receive a reward credit equal to the average price of 10 tickets purchased, excluding taxes, fees, and processing costs. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. All right, Monday Night Football, Raiders versus Chiefs. We're going to give you our best bets. Raiders +270 on the money line if you think they can win outright. Chiefs -345 on the money line, spread 7 favoring the Chiefs, over under 51.5. Raiders coming off a 32-23 win versus the Broncos. They were 2.5-point home favorites. They ended up covering that. Chiefs, of course, coming off of that huge win as underdogs against the Buccaneers, 41-31. The Chiefs have won 7 straight regular season home games and 6 straight up in primetime games. They're also 2-0 this season in those primetime games. And look, the Chiefs did sweep the Raiders last season, both meetings by 27 plus points. So like pretty, like a lot of points. Mahomes 7-1 in his career versus the Raiders at home. Chiefs 15-3. I mean, every trend is pointing to like Chiefs are going to win this game by a landslide. I'm not necessarily thinking that, but what do you think of this game?
Yeah, it is an interesting one. I'm excited for it. I think a lot of people are assuming shootout. You see these, you know, the history of these teams in previously, and they get into wild matchups. So I'm looking forward. We should see some offense, but I'm kind of with you. Maybe, you know, always in primetime games, especially when the narrative is so easily on one side, especially coming after, you know, sort of a blowout win over the Bucs, it's too easy to just feel like the Chiefs are going to run away with this. So I'm interested in your angles here, too, because I feel like you're hinting at expect the unexpected. And how often does that happen in prime time?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question in my mind that the Chiefs are going to win this game. However, the Chiefs are not very good at covering, and that's been a couple years now. So Patrick Mahomes has 17 career wins without covering. That is the most in the NFL within that span. By the way, I'm taking the Raiders +7. You could find it in some places at +7.5. So I might wait, too, to see if this line even goes up on Caesars. But all right, Patrick Mahomes, 17 career wins without covering. Derek Carr, 14 career losses, but he covers. This guy covers the most in the NFL in that span as well. KC also 7-17, 29% as more than field goal favorites since November of 2020. So they're only covering at 29%, under 30, when they're favored by more than a field goal. Raiders are also 0-2 on the road this season, but they lost both of those games by 5 points or fewer. I think that the Raiders are better than their record shows, and they have been losing pretty tight games. Derek Carr also 11-4-1 against the spread in career as an underdog in primetime. So that's hitting at 73%. So to me, it's like, you know, Patrick Mahomes doesn't really cover. The Chiefs don't really cover. The Raiders are a little bit grittier team than they're getting credit for. And even though they're not winning, they're covering the spread. So I'm going to take that 7.
Katie, you're on the money here in your analysis, because the Raiders, really interesting advanced metric here is called Pythagorean wins. And without having to try to figure out the hypotenuse of the Raiders, I can tell you that what that means is it measures luck and how lucky or unlucky a team has been.
Interesting.
Okay. The Raiders are the second unluckiest team in the NFL. So to your point, maybe they should have more wins than their record reflects, and maybe they shouldn't be 7 or 7.5 point dogs. If you can find that 7.5, I totally agree with you. Get that hook. Yeah. It could mean everything. But maybe the spread is a little inflated, and maybe the Raiders are being looked on more unfavorably than they should based on you know, some tough breaks they've taken. So interesting points you're making. I like these.
Do you have a pick on the side or the total?
So I'm leaning towards the under 52. And if I had to lean towards and pick a side, I'm with you. I want the Raiders +7.5 if I can get that. But I'm going to look at the under 52. And I'm going to wait even longer till game time to bet it, because I want to see what the public does and if they drive that number up. The narrative, like we already mentioned, is this game's going to go over. Everyone thinks it's going to go over. Shootouts. Look at these teams playing each other in recent history. But the key difference to me is on the coaching side. The Raiders now have Patrick Graham as defensive coordinator. Patrick Graham was the defensive coordinator for my Giants last year, so I know this guy well. And he went into Arrowhead Stadium last year with the Giants facing the Chiefs on the road, covered the spread for the Giants, and allowed just 20 points to Patrick Mahomes. Final score was 20-17. It was a low-scoring primetime game. I feel like Graham might be able to stifle him again and use a similar game plan. The Raiders defense is not bad. It really isn't. No. So I'm expecting, actually, with so much money on the handle so far going towards the over in a primetime game, that is a liability. So with Patrick Graham, I think maybe able to dial up, and knowing that he's stopped Mahomes before and having a game plan for that, and the way just way too much money being a liability on the over, I'm going to go the opposite side and check out the under 52. But if it goes up, I'll wait till maybe 52 and a half, 53, if I can get it there, and bet the under as high as I can, because I expected it to open at like 54. So if this feels like, you know, maybe the number is hinting at me that it's an under game.
Well, and unders have been cashing like crazy this season, and certainly in prime time. So I agree with you. It's a liability for the books, and the under has really been the trend for these prime time games. Let's talk prop bets now. I'll give my first one. I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire over 12 and a half rushing attempts. This is at plus money at plus 116 on Caesars. So Andy Reid finally got Edwards-Helaire going last week. He had been losing touches to some of the younger guys, but he had 19 attempts last week and 92 yards plus a touchdown. 19 carries to me is a very good sign that you're getting trust from your coach and that Andy's going to continue to do this. I think he stays hot and that Reed lets him share the backfield again with Isaiah Pacheco, who had 11 carries last week. I think it's a favorable matchup against the Raiders for CEH. Saying his name so many times is a lot. So CEH is what we're calling him now. I think he's going to have another good game. I think he's going to split the backfield. So I like him over his carries. What do you think?
It's very interesting. Yeah. And look, if we're wrong about the Raiders keeping this close and maybe the under, if I'm wrong about that, then it'll probably be the Chiefs running away with it. And in blowouts, they run the ball. You got to kill the clock. And that's what happened against the Buccaneers. Edwards-Helaire, like you said, got 19 carries. And Isaiah Pacheco got 11. And that's actually where I'm looking at, interestingly enough. Hopefully both our guys in the Chiefs backfield can cash some bets for us. I like Isaiah Pacheco over 21 and a half rush yards. It's still super low. And it's because, yes, he is the second in command behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But last week, I was impressed with him. I mean, against the Buccaneers, they needed to kill clock. That kid runs hard. He puts his head down and he cracks linebackers. He was trucking Lavonte David and Devin White. Those are two of the best backers in the league on the Buccaneers. And I think the coaches reward him this week. So yes, Edwards-Helaire will be the lead back, but Pacheco showed that that boy is here to play. So I'm expecting him. I mean, such a low total while he's still sort of an unknown commodity. And I feel like we can cash this. He just needs, what, 5-7 carries to go over this number. So I like it here at a low total. Let's get some Chiefs running backs for our bets, Katie.
Good. I think we could both cash on that, which I love. Okay. Another one, which I feel like this one's a little bit risky and not everyone's going to ride with me on this one. I like Derek Carr under 38 and a half pass attempts. Is at minus 111 again on Caesars. Look, if I think that this is going to be a close game, then I'm going to have to say that he's not going to be airing it out as much. He averages over this mark. But again, I'm taking the points with the Raiders. So I'm banking on them to keep this one close. So I don't think they're going to be quite as reliant on a pass-heavy offense. They've been playing from behind in all of these games so far this season. I think they're going to run the ball more. Josh Jacobs has been running the ball really, really well. He carried the ball 28 times for 144 yards and two scores versus Denver. KC grades kind of in the middle of the pack against the run, according to Pro Football Focus. So it's a risky one again because he's averaging over this mark, but I just don't think they're going to be airing it. I don't think they're going to be playing catch up as much. So I'm going to take him under his pass attempts.
And you know what I just thought as you explained your rationale for that? It's curious because if the liability for the Chiefs defensively is their secondary, that's where they've been getting beat, right? People try to pass on them. So you're going to be bold and take the under on attempts. Yet you say that he averages more than this number. So why are they setting it at this number in a matchup where he averages more and he's playing a defense in which you'd expect him to pass against? The number is set lower. Maybe you're onto something here.
Okay. Well, now I feel better about that one. I think you've got a couple more prop bets. What do you got for us?
I do indeed. So Derek Carr is going to have to pass a little bit, Katie. And somebody that he's passing to tonight is Darren Waller. And it's got to be the case because Darren Waller is a Monday Night Football monster. I mean, he loves the bright lights, especially on Monday here. Take a look at some Monday night performances. I mean, we'll look at the against the Saints in 2020, 12 catches for 105 yards and a touchdown. Take a look at Baltimore in 2021, 10 catches, 105 yards, another touchdown. Scored one against the Chargers. And I mean, he goes off in prime time, and he also goes off against the Chiefs. I think he likes going toe-to-toe with Kelce, right? Try to prove that he's right there with him for best tight end in the league, unless your boy George Kittle has something to say about that. I know I saw it in your head.
It's been a rough one for George. And I don't think that Waller is necessarily close to Kelce, but I do appreciate the competition.
I knew immediately. You were like, watch it, Kittle, watch it.
Waller. Well, it's like Kenny Pickett being like, we're not underdogs. And then he didn't score at all and had, you know, just 3 points. It's like, yikes. You know, sometimes, yeah, yikes.
Exactly. But in any case, I think Waller goes off in a matchup where, you know, he's done it time and time again. Monday night, Chiefs, this is where he succeeds.
I like it.
Against these, you know, in both these spots. So why would I not take 50 and a half rush yards? Feels a little low for him because, you know, he's had some games where he's gone under his normal marks. But in a prime time, I got to take Waller. Let's go.
I love it. I love it. Anything else?
Yes, I do. I have another one for you. And let's go to the other side of the field, toe to toe against Travis Kelce. Kelce's the number one target for Mahomes. He's got to be after losing Hill. And he's just so familiar with him that I like the over 6.5 receptions. Receptions, it's a little high, 6.5, or I need to got to get 7 catches. But to my point about Patrick Graham, I think that he's really going to, the defensive coordinator for the Raiders, I think he's really going to, you know, play that like bend don't break style of defense. And not allow Mahomes to beat him with the big home run play. And in the game script, in my mind, that means that Kelce will be over the middle for those short check down routes, you know, and move the chains, little 5, 7, 8 yards after the catch. And that's what Kelce does so great. So, you know, I expect Mahomes to be throwing sidearm into cool little, you know, angles and slots, finding Kelce for a bunch of receptions. And of course, I like him and Waller potentially for an anytime TD if you want to sprinkle those. But I think Kelce catches the ball a lot tonight. So I'm going to take Waller over his receiving yards and Kelce over his receptions and look for tight ends tonight.
I love that. I might even look at Kelce over his receiving yards as well. I'm not sure what that number is, but I did see a stat today. Kelce is the sixth, has the sixth most. The sixth most receiving yards versus the Raiders of all time. He has 117 yards shy of passing Rod Smith for fifth. So he's average, or he has 1,226. So he does really well against the Raiders. But like you said, this Raiders defense is like a little bit different, but could be something to look into.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a little different. Kelce ain't no different at all. He's still the same beast. So yeah, I got to take the best players in the field. Feels like Travis Kelce, right?
Oh, always, always. All right, let's get into Mox Locks.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Football season is here, and nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Not only does Vivid Seats have great NFL ticket prices, they're also the official ticketing partner of ESPN. And with Vivid Seats rewards, when you buy 10 tickets, you get the 11th free. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Receive a reward credit equal to the average price of 10 tickets purchased, excluding taxes, fees, and processing costs. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. All right, Danny, the time has come for Mox Locks. It can be either Monday Night Football or if you got some baseball bets. I know you're going to the game tomorrow for the Yankees, but let's start things off. I'll start things off. I'm taking Josh Jacobs for an anytime touchdown. I already talked about this earlier today. I think he's going to get the ball a lot. I think they're going to be running the ball more than airing it out. And so I like him for an anytime touchdown. It's at -112.
I'm Mr. Monday, Katie. I got to go Monday Night Football. Baseball is in the rear view right now, just while football's on.
Until tomorrow.
Until tomorrow, right? Until about the Yankee game. And I got to go with Darren Waller Monday night. I mean, there's no option, right? If I don't make this one of my Mox Locks, then what am I really doing? The stats say it. The matchup says it. Darren Waller, over 50 and a half receiving yards.
All right, I'm going to take the Raiders plus the 7. Again, I'm going to wait and see, hope, cross my fingers, because I do see it 7.5 in some other books, to see if it goes for 7.5. But I think I'll still take it at the 7. Like you said, I think this line is a little bit inflated. It should really be 6 or 6.5. I think the Raiders are going to keep this one close, just based on all of the trends and the fact that Casey and Patrick Mahomes don't cover the spread. They win, but they don't cover, and Derek Carr does very well at covers, even in a loss.
Yeah, I mean, above 3-point field goal favorites, 29% cover rate under Mahomes as his career as a Chief. Yeah, I mean, that's tough to get behind. So I'm with you on that one. And I'll look at the total then. If you're going to play the +7.5, then I like the under 52, hoping, again, that I'm going to wait and get it at the highest possible number. But again, if you like an under, then typically you like the dog paired with that. If you don't think they're going to be as many points, then you want the team plus the points. So I like that we're kind of in sync for this one. Again, my main point is there's just so much money so far all on the over. And when I see that in a primetime game, I got to go the opposite way. Books don't like losing like that. So I'd rather play the house on this one. And I thought the total would have opened higher, like 54. It's a little lower, and that feels curious to me. Patrick Graham, D coordinator on the Raiders, hopefully he can hold it down, and maybe the Chiefs play some defense too. So I'm looking at the under 52 in this one.
All right, so our mock locks are all on the Raiders pretty much tonight. So I'm taking Josh Jacobs anytime touchdown, the Raiders plus the 7. You like the under 52, and Darren Waller over 50.5 receiving yards. Danny, Mr. Monday, thank you so much. We'll see you again next week. This has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social at Moxie Bets. We'll see you Wednesday.